Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we remember and celebrate the Transfiguration of Jesus. And to be honest, I don't always know what to do with this passage of Scripture. I know it's important. Certainly Matthew, Mark, and Luke thought it was significant enough to include in their Gospels. But outside of this Sunday, I don't really think about this story. And I'm pretty sure that outside of this Sunday and this story, I never use the word transfiguration. It's just not a regular word in my vocabulary. It's a cool story, but it doesn't seem that applicable to everyday life. And yet, today, and every year on the Sunday before Lent begins, we read about this amazing story, the splendor of the Transfiguration, when God transfigures Christ, showing three of Jesus' followers Jesus' true identity. Jesus is God incarnate, embodied in human flesh. On that mountaintop, God gave Jesus a new and exalted appearance. And thankfully, Peter, James, and John weren't asleep, and they got to witness this amazing event. They saw the dazzling brilliance of Jesus, the otherworldly appearance of Moses and Elijah. And Peter has the idea to capture this moment. He wants it to last forever. But before Peter can even finish his sentence with his proposition, a voice from heaven interrupts him. God repeats the words that God said to Jesus at his baptism. "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground in fear. And then, as quickly as the disciples' mountaintop moment began, it ended. It was over. Moses and Elijah were gone. Jesus' clothes and face returned to normal, and they went back down the mountain, back to life, back to reality, back to where the demands of the world were waiting for them. But here's the thing, they don't go back the same. Even though the world they go back to is the same, they aren't. They have experienced something so remarkable that it has changed them. And so they go back different. This event, Jesus' transfiguration, this experience was a turning point for them. And it was a turning point for Jesus. The disciples, these three at least, now know Jesus' true identity. Up to this point, he was a great teacher. He was their rabbi. They had seen him do miracles and healings, but they now know Jesus' true identity, that Jesus is God in human flesh. And even if they don't understand what that means or grasp what it means, they know it. It has been revealed to them. This experience is also a turning point for Jesus, too. Jesus is shifting his gaze toward Jerusalem. Jesus is shifting his gaze toward the cross, toward his death, and ultimately toward his resurrection 3 days later. This Sunday is always a turning point for us, too. We've spent the last 2 months in the season after Epiphany, looking at all of the ways that God reveals Jesus to the world, and how in other gospel lessons, God continues to reveal God's self through Jesus' words and actions. And now, after being in that season, we shift our gaze and our calendar toward Lent as we prepare ourselves for all that God will reveal at the cross and at the empty tomb. I think this story is a great passage to lead us into Lent, because we, like Peter, have a tendency to say and do things without thinking. Did you notice that that was in that passage, that Peter said what he said without thinking? What a common human thing for us to do. And so we, like Peter, have a tendency to do that. We certainly have the tendency to want to hold on to things, to want to cling to them. And Lent is the season of intentionally examining ourselves and our lives. The 40 days of Lent are about discerning what it is that we cling to, what it is that we hold on to, that we might need to let go of, or to release, or to at the very least loosen our grip of, so that we can make more room, more time in our lives and in our hearts for Jesus and the ways that he calls us to serve and follow him. And so Lent begins in just 3 days, Ash Wednesday, and I want to encourage you to be intentional about your Lenten journey, right? Lent isn't required. It's not required that you read the devotional, that you come to Wednesday evening worship, that you have a Lenten practice. But I promise if you fully engage in the season of Lent and its practices, that God will transform you and transfigure your heart and your mind and your body, just as Jesus was transfigured that day. And so I do want to encourage you to be intentional about your Lenten journey. Maybe spend some time this afternoon or in the next couple of days thinking about and praying about what it is that you cling to that hinders you or distracts you or maybe keeps you from spending more time in prayer or in God's Word. Think about and pray about what you cling to or what distracts you from spending more time in worship or in service to others. Name it and claim it. And remember, some of the things that we cling to or hold on to aren't necessarily bad in and of themselves, because some of the things that God does call us to give up during Lent from time to time are really good things. But still, we're called to give them up as we make our journey with Jesus toward the cross and toward Easter so that we can deepen our relationship with God. I'm going to offer a few ideas about what you might want to let go of for Lent. But before I do, I just want to remind you of a few Lenten logistics. When we give up something for Lent, or when we fast from it, we aren't doing that to punish ourselves. So if it feels like a punishment, you need to stop, because that's not what giving something up for Lent is about. We don't give something up or fast from it during Lent to lose a few extra pounds. Lent is not a diet. We don't give something up or fast from it to break a bad habit, because Lent is not a test of our self-discipline. We give something up or fast from it to make more room in our lives, in our hearts and minds and bodies. We do it to clear out more space for God in our heart and our minds and our bodies, and maybe even in our schedule. And so in addition to fasting, it's very common to also add something. So for example, maybe, and I can't do this one, this would be self-discipline for me, so I can't do this one. Maybe you give up hitting the snooze button in the morning and you spend those few extra minutes in prayer instead. Maybe you give up drinking one or two of your sodas each day and instead add in drinking water to better care for the body that God gave you to steward. Maybe you give up spending time scrolling mindlessly on your phone or mindlessly watching TV, and you spend that time with God in prayer, in God's word, in service to others. The last logistic I want to remind you of, and this really isn't that well known, but after today you can say that you know. Yes, Lent is a 40-day season that begins on Ash Wednesday, but those 40 days don't include Sundays, because Sundays are never a fast day, because Sundays are always, always, always a celebration of the resurrection. Sundays are always a day to come to God's table and to feast upon God's love and God's grace. So, if you give up scrolling on social media, you do that Monday through Saturday. But Sunday is not a feast day, so go ahead and scroll away. So I want to offer you a few ideas that you might want to give up for Lent. But again, spend time in prayer and thinking about this with God. But this list comes from Pope Francis. You may have seen this list on Facebook, but you can also Google it. So these are some of St. Francis's suggestions. Fast from saying hurting words and say kind words instead. Fast from sadness and be filled with gratitude. Fast from anger and be filled with patience. Fast from pessimism and be filled with hope. Fast from worries and trust in God. Fast from complaints and contemplate simplicity. Fast from pressures and be prayerful. Fast from bitterness and fill your heart with joy. Fast from selfishness and be compassionate. Fast from grudges and be reconciled. Fast from words and be silent and listen. Fast from indifference toward others, and be concerned with the needs of others, especially those who are different from you. And if you want to have conversation or prayer with me about what your Lenten journey might look like, please reach out to me. I'd love to have a conversation with you about that. So I think one of the reasons that we like Peter so much is that he is just so relatable. He shows us that we don't have to be perfect to be a follower of Jesus. We get Peter because in many ways we are like him. And in the case of the Transfiguration, we, like Peter, have a tendency to hold on to things or say and do things without thinking. So today, as we shift our gaze from this season after Epiphany toward Lent, toward Good Friday, toward Easter Sunday, let us begin to prepare ourselves by acknowledging what it is that we cling to, what it is that we say or do without thinking, and then give it up or fast from it during Lent, so that we can deepen our relationship with God and make more room in ourselves and in our lives for Jesus and all the ways that he calls us to serve him. May it be so to the glory of God. Amen.